It is 5 minutes before 11 o'clock. You're listening to Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, also streaming online at ijpr.org. I'm Eric Thiel, and we are thrilled to welcome into the JPR studios today Amy Ray. Amy, welcome to Jefferson Public Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You've got a brand new album out just in the last couple of weeks called Lung of Love, your fourth solo album. Let's go back in time a little bit. How did you get started playing music?
When I was probably, I don't know, like 10 years old, I think I started, I took lessons at the YMCA, and, you know, my sisters were playing guitar and piano, and we learned how to play piano. Everybody in our family had to take piano for like 3 years. That was kind of the rule.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I was into a lot of the early kind of hippie music and and late 60s, early 70s kind of stuff. And I just wanted to play. I don't know why. I just felt this need to learn and be able to sing, you know, Neil Young and Carole King songs and kind of that early sort of singer-songwriter stuff.
So did you start gravitating toward guitar early on?
Yeah. It seemed really mobile and kind of the music of the people kind of instrument, you know, and I learned a lot of folk songs at the Y, like Tom Dooley and, you know, the old-time stuff. And I went to church and learned folk songs there, and it was kind of like my early days. And I think then I met Emily when I was just right during that time we met at elementary school, and she was a year ahead of me, and we just sort of knew each other in passing. And then in high school, we started, both of us joined the chorus, and that's when we really got to know each other, and we started playing together when we were about 16. And then just doing, you know, cover songs at first, and then she was writing, and then I started writing, and, you know, she went off to school for a little while, and I went off to school, and then we kind of, we kept playing together during breaks and stuff, and then we ended up at Emory University in Atlanta, and that was where we kind of really dug in and started releasing records and touring and stuff.
And the Emily you mentioned, Emily Salyers, the other half of Indigo Girls.
Yeah.
25 plus years now you guys have been 30 together.
30 since we've been playing,
And you guys have known each other for, what, 40-something, right?
We've known each other since we were 10.
Wow.
So, yeah. 37 years.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you guys have, I think, 18 albums out as Indigo Girls?
I don't even know.
Is it true? I read somewhere. Is it true that you and Emily bring songs to recording sessions rather than writing things together?
We don't write things together, yeah.
Why?
We just don't. We really have different vocabularies and chord vocabularies and influences. And
it's interesting because so much of Indigo Girls' music is known for this close-knit sound that you guys are bringing things individually to recording sessions.
Well, but we bring it together before we get to recording. So the arrangement process is really big for us. I mean, we spend a good few months visiting with each other and arranging the songs and working on the harmonies and the guitar parts and whatever instrument we're playing, and we tape everything, and it becomes a completely different song by the time we both get our hands on it.
What do each one of you bring to that collaborative process individually?
Well, you know, her songs are pretty different from mine, so she's kind of got more of a pop sensibility sometimes, I think, and more of a certain type of melody, and I have often more roots in rock, and I've been influenced heavily by like sort of left of center folk and punk rock and other things. And so we have our different sensibilities, but I think Emily in the beginning was more schooled in harmonies and sort of taught me more about that. And now it's pretty much we each bring our own harmony ideas in, and she brings her kind of guitar ideas and I bring mine in, although she's much more of a guitar player than me. So I'd say in that collaborative process, she's the one that is really, you know, writing the guitar lines. And if there's a different chord voicings and stuff, she's the one suggesting those things, you know? And then in the recording process, you know, both of us are, I mean, we work with a producer, but we're pretty collaborative as far as rhythm ideas and arrangement and instrumentation and stuff. So it's pretty even, but it's just like from our own worlds, so to speak, you know?
Well, with, I think, 14 Indigo Girls studio albums and another 4 solo albums, that is an awful lot of songs. How much time do you spend writing?
A lot. I mean, I spend, you know, I'll have a few months in the year when I don't write as much because I'm touring a lot, or like this when I'm solo touring and it's just so time consuming, I can't do any writing, but probably 8 months out of the year, I'm writing about 5 days a week.
Wow.
But only a few hours a day, you know, sitting down at the table and doing it.
Yeah, you're one that can actually set aside some time and sit down and crank things out?
Or? Well, I've made myself do it because I figure it's the part of the job that is the most important part, you know, and I read a lot of books about writing, mainly this book by Stephen King that really influenced me, that taught about discipline, you know, and how to create that for yourself. And it changed my life, changed my whole game, you know. I read that about 12 years ago, I guess, or 10 years ago. And it made me a totally different, it gave me a completely different access to what I was doing.
Amy Ray is my guest live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. The new album, which we will talk about in a few minutes, is called Lung of Love. What do you want to play first for us?
I'm going to play a song called Bird in the Hand. Talking sweet to the lonely hobos on the street. And baby, don't want me riding the rails, watching the dawn come in while the prairie breaks and bends. In a quiet way until the night expires. And baby, don't want me roping up the raft, watching the water waves like some long lost river raft. Huckleberry hound. Baby, don't want me leaving at the tender hour when my heart beats honestly and the vine blooms on the bower.
It's Amy Ray live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, streaming at ijpr.org. The new album is called Lung of Love, out on Damon Records. Let's talk about Damon Records. Especially recently, we have seen many artists transition from a quote-unquote major record label to independent, and many of them starting their own record labels primarily to release their own music.
Yeah.
You have taken a slightly different path. You started a record label, what, 20-some years ago?
In 89.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did not release your own music. You actually released the music of others.
Yeah, we put out, we've put out at this point 60 records, but at the time before I did my own record, we had put out probably 30 records, punk bands and
Bands folk, like bands like music. Girly Man that we play quite a bit.
Yeah, we did folk music, and we did band. We did like what I consider to be kind of like outsider bands, and some of them were folk, and some of them were punk, and we had a couple jazz things, you know.
Now, did you act as the A&R person looking for
of
bands?
Of course,
to sign?
I did. Because I'm such a music fan, it was kind of like my it's my own little private, you know, way to be a fan and supportive and like, you know, have music around that I thought was great. Honestly, yeah. You know,
how did you have the time for that?
Well, back then, I mean, when we first started, it was just a couple of friends and we did it together and the bands would help too. And it was kind of a co-op. Mm. And then we got busier. So I had three friends that ended up having jobs and it was like a staff and we had like a little house and everything. And then they all, you know, went their separate ways in the last 5 years and worked on other projects. Great stuff, but not what I was doing. And then I kind of took it back over myself and just focused on releasing my own stuff and kind of trying to figure out. And I put out a few records, you know, at that time, Girly Man and Utah Phillips and some stuff. But really a lot changed in the industry. And I felt like a band like Girly Man, for instance, really can do as much for themselves as I could have done. So mm-hmm. At one point I just was like, you can have your records back. Because I honestly, they just have so much going for themselves, you know, and they didn't need me really. And so the puzzle became sort of what do bands need, really? Mm-hmm. I mean, if I had the money and the time, I'd start a booking agency, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. that's what they need. Mm-hmm. Bands need gigs.
And now Indigo Girls now also independent, IG Recording. So are you involved in that record label also?
Well, not in the logistics as much. I mean, I'm as involved as we were with any other label that we've been on. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we are housed, so to speak, with Vanguard's infrastructure in a way. So we get to access their infrastructure.
In terms of distribution and promotion and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we make decisions. So there is that. We do have a lot of decisions to make, but we were as involved in any other process that we've been in, honestly. So, yeah.
Amy Ray is my guest live on Open Air here on Jefferson Public Radio. The new album we're talking about is Lung of Love, out on Damon Records. You know, over the years, both in Indigo Girls songs and also the songs that appear on your own albums, many of them focus on relationships. And
true.
And I wonder whether that is the result of you being an incredibly social person, so that this is part of your worldview and the regular part of the things you think about and talk about? Or is it more the result of somebody who is a little bit more socially distant and this comes out in your songs?
I am a hermit.
Mm.
But I mean, I'm an introspective person and an introvert and a hermit. But I'm very social on the road, obviously, because I'm a collaborator, you know, and either I'm touring with my rock band or I'm touring with Emily or I'm doing, you know, social projects, work, activism with groups of people. But generally speaking, I'm very much of a hermit. So relationship songs are either observations or kind of my own life or I just tell stories about other people's lives, you know, that kind of thing. Mm. I mean, Emily really has the edge on she writes a lot about the inner workings of love, I think, in a way that is different from how I write about it. And I think I write from that perspective of someone that can be outside looking in some ways.
And I remember reading an interview you did many years ago where you talked about how early on, many of the people that were subjects of your songs were more abstract and that over the years they've really become more individual.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, my songs were more abstract. And I think what I learned about writing is to try to be less abstract. Hmm. But it didn't mean that you had to only write about one person or one thing, but you can make, you know, a conglomerate sort of a combination of different people into one person and still be specific, you know, and not as mysterious, you know. Mm-hmm. So tried over the years to sort of become clearer yet still poetic, I guess, in some way.
Mm. The new album's called Lung of Love. It's Amy Ray live in the JPR studios. Can we hear another tune?
Oh God, I'm gonna try to do this one that it has a ripping guitar lead in it, which I can't play because I'm only one person today. But but I'm gonna do it without the guitar lead, I guess. And it is a relationship song. Speaking of relationships, I've got this one, and then I'll do a an Appalachian song at the end, but okay, this is called I Didn't. You say we got this mountain we have to climb. I'm hungry and out of time. I never got enough sleep. And now I'm wondering if you'll wake up one day by some sea. But think about me. I left you with a handful of love songs. The reason to be free. And someone broke your heart. I didn't. Someone played too hard. I didn't. Someone stole your dreams. I didn't. Someone got there a long time before me. Say we got this long road that lays ahead. It's gonna take a lot of tread. I've been walking it all my life. I still can't get it right. I guess I need a reason to believe. Faith and apologies, 'cause I've known them all my life. I still can't see the light. And someone broke your heart. I didn't. Someone played too hard. I didn't. Someone stole your dreams. I didn't. Someone got there a long time before me. And so you got every reason to be broke down. I'm not hanging around. I'm just looking for a fight to make all that hurt seem right. With so many reasons to be free, you can count on history to give us one more chain that binds. Something to remind us that someone broke your heart. Someone played too hard. Someone stole your dreams. Someone broke your heart. I didn't. Someone played too hard. I didn't. Someone stole your dreams. I didn't. Someone got there a long time before me.
It's Amy Ray live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. A tune there from the new album called Lung of Love, which has a couple of familiar names on the album version of that, singing harmony vocals, both Lindsay Fuller, who, Amy, you are out on tour with right now, and also Brandi Carlile making an appearance on that tune.
Oh, yeah. Singing up a storm. Oh, Brandi is.
We are going to take a quick break and be back with more conversation and music live with Amy Ray on Open Air. It's Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of JPR. Amy Ray is my guest live. Lung of Love is the new album. Amy, just before the song, you mentioned your activism. And for a number of years now, you have been heavily involved with political, environmental, and gay activism. How did that part of your life start to form and take off?
You know, when Emily and I were pretty young, both of our families raised us with kind of like tithing. You know, so giving back to your community, either financially or with time. So that's kind of the one thing that really cemented in both of our lives, I think, from our family upbringing. And when we started playing around Atlanta, we started doing benefits for soup kitchens and, you know, Meals on Wheels programs for people with HIV. And we did some Greenpeace stuff, really just kind of basic stuff. Our idea was like, let's just get together with a bunch of friends and we can play music and raise money for a good cause. And it was kind of a way to have fun, but also feel like you were giving back. And then it just blossomed into, you know, things that we were involved with. And in the early 90s, we started Honor the Earth with Winona LaDuke and some other Indian activists. And that organization, we grant money to existing Native environmental groups and groups that work on cultural sustainability as well. And that sort of being involved in that kind of helped us steer a lot of our other activism, in that they taught us kind of a model of like grassroots organizing that we hadn't, we weren't as politicized into that process, I think. And so then our queer activism and our activism around feminism or anything else sort of started falling into those categories so that we could work in a way that we felt was more effective, I guess. Mm.
You know, a lot of terms get thrown about and written about when there are magazine articles and TV interviews and things. And one term that is just sort of thrown out there, both in terms of you and also in terms of Indigo Girls, is this idea of lesbian icon. Is that an uncomfortable thing to have to deal with, or have you kind of come to embrace it just because of how often it comes up?
Well, I mean, it depends on what side of the coin it's on, I guess, because, yeah. You know, iconic lesbianism can be the most derisive term, yeah. You know, in the yeah. world. Not in the world, but in the U.S. It's uncomfortable when it's like all that you are. Mm. And everything that you do musically is distilled down to this idea of that, because it doesn't have much to do with music. But it's not uncomfortable. And it's uncomfortable if it's derogatory, you know. And a lot of times it is derogatory. But the positive sides of it are great, you know, are flattering or give us a sense of community. You know, and we're proud of that, you know, and we're proud of coming through the 80s and, you know, still existing in the way we exist in our own growth and evolution and coming out and figuring out ourselves, because we did it. I think we sort of grew up with a lot of other people figuring out about sexuality and about gender and about the sort of how you know, function in your family and negotiate your faith and all the things that you negotiate. And honestly, it's like, you know, we owe a lot to that sort of term, I guess, in a way. We just get sort of bitter and frustrated when it's, you know, derogatory or it's used to like dismiss what we do yeah. musically.
Well, here we are in the middle of another political season. So what are the things right now that are sort of foremost for you that you're focused on or that you're working on?
Well, Honor the Earth's going through some really great transitions, and so I'm working a lot on Honor the Earth stuff, and we work a lot on sustainable energy. We were working a lot on fighting the XL pipeline and the tar sands issues in Canada, and we worked in Montana a bit because there was a lot of transportation routes for heavy gear to come through there to build different stations that were gonna, what word am I thinking of? I'm having a mental block. Process all the crude. So I think, you know, Honor the Earth is a big part of what we work on, and it's a lot of boring stuff like board meetings and figuring out how to reorganize and do this or that and what we're gonna do next year and how many benefits we're gonna do and all this stuff. But you know, as far as like the political landscape of like, you know, what's happening, I mean, you know, the thing is, when big campaign seasons start, we don't really endorse candidates, so we don't really get involved in that. We get more involved in like the immigration issue, you know, like in Atlanta, for instance, they passed a horrible immigration law, and we were involved in fighting that, and we lost, obviously, but, you know, some other things that come up that are more general, we'll always work on, you know, referendums or legislation. So if we're in a town that's got something specific happening and we're asked to do something, we'll do tabling or something for that. We worked on a big death penalty case in Georgia that we lost as well. But, you know, Georgia's it's a hard environment sometimes. It's also really rich because there's a lot of awesome activists there. And it's sort of ground zero for the civil rights movement, I think. But it's still, you know, it's hard death penalty wise. It's hard immigration wise. It's hard in class issues, race issues. So yeah. A lot of stuff happens at home.
About 10 years ago, in an interview, you said, between all the politics and Indigo Girls touring, when would I do a solo album?
Did I say that?
Yeah. And here you are.
I say things, just don't even know what I say. Obviously, you shouldn't listen to anything I say.
So obviously, you're doing a better job now of managing all of those different components of life and juggling all of the responsibilities?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know if I'm doing a great job managing it. I have a great relationship that's been together for 10 years, so I feel good about that. And I have a million animals at home that I rescued and people that help take care of them and my family. And so I have a great life outside of all this. But I guess I learned how to compartmentalize and sort of, and also at the same time, how to have things inform each other. So you know, I'm out on a solo tour, but I can talk about Indigo Girls.
Yeah.
You know, and we're coming back around in June, and I can feel the connection. You know, before when I first started doing solo stuff, I had to keep it very separate because I get confused if I didn't. But now I feel more comfortable with how they all intersect.
In terms of your solo work, you have said that your solo projects allow you to sing songs that you need to sing alone rather than with Emily. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, when Emily and I sing together, we really color what each other is saying in a way, just by our harmonies, just by having our voices in there, because they're so strong, the way they create such a picture. So I think, you know, my first solo record was just like this punk sort of getting it out of my system. And some of the songs were things that Emily didn't even want to sing, like that I had brought into the Indigo Girls, and she was like, I don't want to do that song. So it's like, it was a place for that. And I think also I felt like I struggled a lot in my early solo career with how to define myself. And I was dealing with gender issues and sexuality issues and issues that felt more singular to me. And if Emily sang them with me, it felt like it would create an Indigo Girl thing instead of like just this other really sharply focused thing. And I also wanted to work with different collaborators, you know. I think there's a lot of people I wanted to work with that had been part of my Damon Records experience in bands and stuff. And I wanted to go in more of a rock route and stuff. And so, of course, now I'm playing all these folk songs, but, you know, basically just a different set of collaborators. You know, it's like these other people that have a more rough around the edges sometimes kind of vibe.
Mm. And I know we have time for one more short tune, but before you play, what's the story behind Lung of Love?
It's, you know, it's just like this way of me talking about sort of our human frailty, kind of in conflict with what we want to do spiritually, how we want to rise beyond that. So it's like, I was just saying, like, this is where a lot of times my affection is in singing, you know, and sharing the same breath with everybody else, you know. So even though I go into my little cave, I'm always connected, you know, because of songs and because of breathing, I think.
What are you going to wrap up with today?
This is an Appalachian gospel song I wrote called The Rock is My Foundation, and it's on Lung of Love with a sort of a killer Appalachian band in North Carolina. Oh, the rock is my foundation. Jesus is at the base. God is on the kick drum, and the Holy Spirit sings. Oh, I will not be troubled in the daytime, and I will not be troubled in the night. 'Cause that firmament's gonna open when I breathe my final prayer. Oh, the rock is my foundation. Jesus is at the base. God is on the kick drum, and the Holy Spirit sings. All my life I've been a sinner. All my life I've gone astray. Oh, sinner, hang on. Yes, sinner, hang on. You're gonna have your judgment day. Oh, sinner, hang on. Yes, sinner, hang on. You're gonna have your glory day. today.
It's Amy Ray, live on Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. The new album is called Lung of Love. Amy, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for having this great station.
Please come back and see us again.
Yeah.